Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
So, what have we seen about the gospel of Jesus Christ thus far this week? We've seen, number one, that the gospel produces concern. Paul said in Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. A concern, a strong, heartfelt concern to get the gospel to everyone in every class without distinction. The gospel produced that concern in the Apostle Paul. And I trust it will produce a similar concern in your heart and mine. What have we seen about the gospel? Number two, that it produces commitment. Verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Paul had been transformed by the gospel of God's grace, and it gave him a commitment without any reservation to give himself fully to the work of the gospel. He was ready to preach the gospel anywhere and everywhere that the Lord gave him opportunity. But number three, we have seen that the gospel produces courage. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Paul had a divinely endowed courage that had been given to him with the working of the message of the gospel in his heart. I am not ashamed. In spite of the fact that most of the people in his Jewish community despised the gospel, they found it a stumbling block. In spite of the fact that most of the people in the Roman world that Paul went to as an apostle to the Gentiles ridiculed the gospel as foolishness, nevertheless, Paul was ready to preach the gospel to Rome also, the very heart of sophistication and education and a social standing. And Paul said, I'm ready to go there and preach the gospel, even though I know that I will be looked down on and ridiculed and despised by some when I do that. What is it about the gospel that causes people to turn down their noses at it and at those who believe it and at those who proclaim it? Well, frankly, folks, it is because of a sinful rebellion against the God who made us and the God who sent his Son, and the God who declares that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that strikes at the heart of man's pride. It requires people to renounce their human worth or merit and acknowledge that they do not have what it takes to please God. They are not worthy of eternal life. They do not deserve to go to heaven. That's a strong blow for many people, because the gospel demands a radical severance from our sins. And that's a tough one. It's not something that people do easily, that is, cut loose from their sins. Men love darkness. They love it more than light. They love it. And so you tell them, repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sins. and believe the gospel. And frankly, folks, people not only are not going to do that, but they are going to be resistant against those who tell them they should and against those who themselves have done that, because that becomes a rebuke to them. No, people are not going to renounce their sins, which they love and cherish and nurture and protect and hide, unless and until the Holy Spirit does that work of the new birth in their hearts. And then the things they used to love, they now hate. And the things they formerly hated, they now love. It's a total transformation. Things are different now. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. But it's no wonder that people are opposed to the gospel. It separates men into two classes, those who belong to Christ and those who belong to the world. And so if you belong to Christ, then you are in a different class from those who belong to the world. And those who belong to the world are not generally very favorably disposed toward those who belong to Christ. And Jesus told us it would be that way. He said, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if people hate you. They hated me. Why should they not hate you, my followers? Don't be surprised if people reject you. They rejected me, so why shouldn't they reject you, my followers? Now, it occurs to me that I did not make my customary appeal, so I'll pause to do that now, as I welcome you to the last broadcast of this calendar year on this Friday, December 31, thanking you for your help financially throughout the year, for we need it and depend upon it, and asking you to consider one final gift for 2021. And if you've never given one before, would you consider one gift, a one-time year-end gift to the Beacon Broadcast? What a blessing that would be. So what do men do to try to remove the reproach of the gospel? Well, some will refashion the gospel into a message of human merit. The way to salvation is by being good, being a good neighbor, being good to other people. The way to salvation is by engaging yourself in religion. Yes, the Christian religion. And if you'll do that, then you'll be a good Christian. And by introducing human merit, people are adding to the work of Christ. It's as if Christ gave us a good down payment, but we've got to make the installments if we're going to be a Christian. But if we'll do that, we can consider ourselves to be a Christian. But it's a blow to human pride and self-esteem that we can do nothing to merit God's saving grace. We can do nothing. I sometimes cringe when I hear people present the gospel and say something like this. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead, and all you gotta do to be saved is to believe in him. And that is so close to the truth, but that is so far from the spirit of the gospel that I do cringe, because it's not all you got to do is believe, as if it's a real easy thing. No, here's the better way to say it. There's nothing you can do except cast yourself fully upon him. Believe in him and him alone. You can't do anything. You are worthless. You are sinful. The best that you can do is worthless, rotten, filthy rags in the sight of God. You are a helpless, worthless, listen to me, hell-deserving sinner. That's who you are. So much for self-esteem, so much for self-worth, so much for earning salvation, so much for deserving it. None of that. There's nothing you can do. You must, therefore, cast yourself completely upon Jesus Christ and what he has already done, and trust in that and that alone for your salvation. What do men do to attempt to remove the reproach of the gospel? They endeavor to minimize the seriousness of sin, the greatness of its offense toward God, the necessity of warring against it all throughout our earthly sojourn. Oh, there's so many things that people do to water down the gospel of Christ. They tell us that it's possible to have Jesus as your Savior and not receive Him as your Lord and still go to heaven. Wrong. Wrong. There is an attempt to separate salvation from discipleship. You can be saved without becoming a disciple. Wrong. There is an attempt to separate justification from sanctification. You can be justified before the judgment bar of God without being sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Wrong. There's an attempt to separate salvation of the soul from the salvation of the life. Oh, there's so many different things that people will do. And in some cases, there's simply this matter of downplaying separation from the world. I see an awful lot of that in our day. That the best way to present the gospel to the world is to copy whatever is successful in the world at the moment. Whatever is popular Christian or popular worldly entertainment, we're going to Christianize it and make it part of our worship and part of our evangelistic appeal. We're going to eliminate warnings about sin and about the dangers of allowing sinful practices to dominate our lives. And what's the result of that? Well, we have people who consider themselves Christians who lie and cheat and steal and live in the lust of pornography and are involved in sexual sins and have never been freed from them. I'm not talking about things in the past that have been transformed by the power of God. That's a different matter. Such were some of you, but now you are washed. Now you are cleansed. Now you are justified by the gospel of God. But what these things do is not only make it, what should I say, more attractive to people who really don't want to turn loose of their sins to assure them that they don't really need to in order to be saved. They don't have to repent. They don't have to turn from their sins, even though that is the clear message of the gospel. John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus came right behind him saying the same thing exactly. No difference. "Repent," said Jesus, "for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And somehow we think we can offer the gospel to people without the message of repentance. How foolish are we? No, we can't remove the reproach of the cross. We can't tell people that they can have Christ in the world too. When we do that, the gospel loses its power. But when we proclaim it is powerful. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," said Paul, "for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greeks." Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. It gave him courage to proclaim it to others, and so should it do within you and within me. And may God help us to demonstrate the same concern for others, the same commitment to service, the same unashamedness of the gospel of Christ. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.